Hey everyone, this is Annie Tevlin, founder of Skin Owl Skincare and your host of Off the Record, the podcast. From years of helping people with their skin, it dawned on me that when you're talking to people about their skin, be it acne or aging, the conversation so often becomes about one's insecurities, lack of self-worth, and how to reconcile who they are while living in the skin they're in. The road to healing one's skin is not solely paved with a good face oil or eye concentrate, but with an openness that I have felt so fortunate to be on the other end of. This vulnerability motivated me to start a podcast. This podcast, one that has evolved into a magnetic epicenter of amazing humans telling their story in a truly raw and transparent way. Join me every Monday as my guests and I dive deep into universal truths by way of humor, heartache, and hope. Now it's just you and me. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, put me in, put a finger to my lips, 'cause I can't say I love what I would do. Off the record with you. Off the record with you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 106 of Off the Record. It is October 5th, if you are listening to this, the day this goes live. We made it to October, which fuck if I know what that even means anymore, but we're here. The holidays are on the horizon. And, you know, I don't know. And New Year's is on the horizon. And God bless all of us for hanging in there these last 3 months to get us to a new year. I just want to say, and I know sometimes I say this ad nauseum, but I just want to say thank you guys so much for sticking with this podcast and your reviews and your ratings. I see them all. And every single time, it literally fills my heart with joy. I'm so appreciative and so honored that you guys listen to this. And I know that everybody always says they're filled with gratitude and they're so honored. And, you know, how do you let people know how deeply you mean that? And I hope that this is making its way through the radio waves to you guys and that you truly know how special you are to me and how special this podcast is to me. I just want to say thank you so much to the guests who have been here since the end of 2018. You know, we're going up on 2 years here. And actually, exactly 2 years. My first podcast was recorded in September of 2018. And now here we are. So I want to say thank you to Tiffany Souza Ritter, who's out there as my podcast director. And I want to say thank you to just the long line of people who helped get this podcast to where it is today. I also want to share, because I know that you guys are now using this up and it makes me so happy when I see an order come through skinowl.com with this code, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't share our special discount code for all of our listeners. So if you guys are Skin Owl lovers, for those of you guys that are like, what in the hell is Skin Owl? I my side job is I own a skincare company, a vegan, cruelty-free, made with love skincare company called Skin Owl. And I just want to give you all a code. So if there's anything that you want to try, if there's anything that needs replenishing, if you're starting your holiday shopping early, week after week, I'm going to share a new code. This one is Off the Record 15. This is the last of this code. I'm going to switch it up for next week's episode just to keep things fresh. But it's 15% off everything on skinowl.com. If you need recommendations, DM me at skinowl, or you can reach me at Off the Record with you on Instagram. So, all right, let's get into this. It's October 5th, and I'm sitting here on my couch in Boise, Idaho, after being here for about 4 weeks. Okay, I don't know where time has gone. It has flown. And, you know, I'll be honest, over the last few weeks, I have been on the receiving end of a lot of DMs and texts and emails of people saying, so how is it? How is it? Is it everything you thought it would be moving? What's coming to the surface? How did you decide to move? Why Idaho? I'm thinking of making the same decision, with my family. I'm thinking of picking up and leaving a place that I have been for years. And I'm starting to feel like I'm even crazy for thinking that. And it just gave me the idea to do you know, an episode dedicated to that part of us that may be quieted from time to time or might be exceedingly, you know, getting louder over time. I want to, you know, preface this conversation with the fact that regardless of whether or not you make a decision, a big decision such as moving, it is always going to be coupled with reconciliation and mourning and grief and fear. You know, I think I have been fortunate to be in a place where I was ready to move out of Los Angeles for probably the last 2 years. And the pandemic and just COVID as a whole, and I've said this before, but it sucked a lot of the life out of LA. You know, I had been there for 17 years. Los Angeles was a place that was booming with production, booming with film, booming with live music. And, you know, I moved there because I wanted to kind of take the road less traveled and lead a life where I could leave a mark on something. And also kind of, I always say like reinvent myself, but I don't even know if I knew exactly what I was going to be up against when I moved there. You know, everybody was like, wow, you know, you moved there when you were 23. That must have been a lot. It wasn't. You know, it was this beautiful city. Sun was shining every single day. I moved there with a job. At the time, I wanted to be a music video director, and I got a job at a production company, and it was very normal. You know, I had a couple of friends from college who had moved there, and I felt like I had a built-in social network once I moved. And it was just, I think, how it feels for anybody to move out of their parents' home, get out of college, and just be on the brink of the real world. It was, you know, the world was my oyster, and I was down for the road. I was a student in the game of life, so to speak, and it was a place that had an energy that up until about, you know, a year and a half ago was palpable. You know, and some people come to Los Angeles and they visit and they're like, I don't know how the hell you live there. And that's very real. I get that. There is a chaos, even though it's California and everybody's driving around and kind of chill and doing. No, there is a real hustle. There is a chaos. There is kind of this manic aspect to the city. It's a lot of people trying to chase their dreams, and it's a lot of creative energy. And the two of those things, the marriage of those things, can perpetuate a chaos that sometimes you don't even know that you're living in, you know. But alas, I was there for 17 years. I, you know, obviously worked in production. I walked dogs. I was a makeup artist for Lancôme. I sold handbags. I was a sales director for a handbag line for about a year and a half. And, you know, I think it was a beautiful city in the sense of, as long as you are willing to keep playing, LA will deal you another hand. You know, because I had friends along the way who left. And not that it's like, oh, the city ate them alive, but it was, they had had enough. You know, their priorities had changed. They didn't want to be there anymore. They wanted to have rent that was affordable. They wanted to, you know, try another landscape for dating. And you know, the amount of people that I knew thinned out over 17 years. And I stayed because I had stability, you know, and some of that stability was in my friends who became my family. And I found stability in my first marriage. And then ultimately I found the most stability and just love and adoration for my family now, you know, Micah and Monkey and Monty. It was a place that I delivered a baby and bought a house, and I had a lot of pride in living in Los Angeles. But I think in the back of my head, I always knew that I didn't want to raise Monty in Los Angeles. While it could have been done, it would have been harder. It would have been a struggle for that return to innocence. It would have been a constant consideration for money. And I think over time, and this is probably the loudest thing, I just wasn't really liking who I was becoming. I wasn't liking my factory settings, my defaults. I was starting to feel angrier. I was starting to feel a little bit more negative. I was uninspired. And, you know, when you're an entrepreneur and running your own business, you maybe there's like an extra pressure to feel inspired a lot and innovate and start new things. And maybe I was just a little bit burnt out because I, between Skin Owl and the podcast and the Parliament Project, which is Skin Owl's dinner series, and having a baby and being a wife and, you know, employing people and all the other things that you do when you run a business. I mean, when COVID hit, I'll be honest, at first it was like, oh my God, this is a relief. This is weirdly a relief. Like I can actually take a step back and pause and reprioritize how I'm spending my time. And I think a lot of us had that. You know, it was kind of this honeymoon period in March and April. It was a time where we were considering, you know, maybe this is the opportunity where I'm going to write my book or I'm going to start this business or, you know, I'm going to get out of this relationship now that I have a pause and an opportunity to process the life that I'm living. And, you know, I think as we've all experienced now since March and April, there has been a gamut of emotions that have come to the surface. There's just an oddness to our day in and day out and our connections with other human beings and trying to make sense of what's going on in the world while also feeling this latent sense of fear. And, you know, and I think it's just very normal. I think it's very normal. I think if people weren't feeling uneasy right now, then they wouldn't be human. And so we are all in this together, but all the while, you know, just to bring it back to the original point, I was just starting to feel different about Los Angeles. You know, I struggle talking about this sometimes because I feel like in my mind, I talk about LA from this place that's like, you know, that city really let me down at the end. But that is a very narrow, inaccurate way of describing my time there. I am in love with the city of Los Angeles. I mourned the loss of that city even before we left. That's a city that gave me my greatest gifts and everything that I am so that has such deep value to me was in Los Angeles. Whether it's lessons, whether it's my divorce, whether it's Monty, whether it's Micah, whether it's Skin Owl, my friends, my mentors. I mean, that city gave me everything that I hold in the highest regard, and I got to leave on my own terms. And I think that there's something to be said for that. For those of you that are considering, you know, I can't leave Manhattan. I can't leave Chicago. I can't leave Portland. Like this is, you know, this is the place that I was going to settle down and set up roots and make a name for myself and achieve and reach my dreams. And I will say for those of you that are considering moving, there is something to be said for being in the driver's seat and taking, you know, the bull by the horn, so to speak, and making that decision for yourself and not letting a city exhaust you to the point of, I don't know, leaving on bad terms. You know, I had seen so many people leave. And I think when it's all said and done, as I sit here 4 weeks into living in Boise, Idaho, I feel overwhelmed, you know, with gratitude that I was able to live in that city for as long as I did, as joyfully as I did, and know when, you know, my experience was looking at an expiration date. So I want to also preface this by saying that, you know, I don't think it's strange for any of us to be considering a move. I don't consider it out of nowhere. It is very real, and it is very, what's the word? It makes sense based on what's going on. You know, first of all, many of us have been holed up in the same place. You know, depending on where you live, you've been given certain permissions. So if you're in California and you're wondering why you want to get the hell out of California, or you're in Manhattan and wondering why you want to get out of Brooklyn or New York, it's because you've been holed up in your place forever. And so, like any human being, after a while, that starts to eat at you. And you're like, I got to get out of here. I got to move. I got to shake things up. I need new narrative. I need to be looking out a different window. And when I do that, life will get better. And I think that, you know, people can say wherever you are. But if you are not feeling inspired or happy in your current place, I think there is nothing wrong with considering a move and considering a relocation. If on the other end of that, you're going to be happier, because that is, you know, what it is all about. There, if you are not happy and you're not in a place, if you're in a place where you're just the loop keeps going in your brain, like, I'm sick of this place. I don't like my neighbors. What am I doing here? Why do I live here? That, you know, it's about closing the loop on that narrative and setting yourself up for success somewhere else and giving yourself an opportunity to be re-inspired. And in a nutshell, that was one of the main reasons that I left Los Angeles, is I wasn't feeling inspired anymore. And what I wanted was simplicity, community, and nature. And, you know, I asked people on social media to submit questions about 3 weeks ago. I said, you know, if you guys are considering moving, I would love to answer your questions. You know, I'm not the oracle. I'm not saying that I'm all knowing here by any means, but I do think it might be valuable to share what my experience has been like with you guys, so that if you are considering this from a business standpoint or a personal standpoint, that you might, you know, that you can be on the receiving end of some things to consider and what could happen. You know, I titled this The Emotional Stages of Moving. And this is essentially just a consideration for what to expect before you move and after you move, the emotions and reconciliations that could come to the surface once you're settled, and finding a way to be okay with the 60-40, finding a way to be okay with the 80-20. You know, I think so often so many of us are like, you know, I really want to move, but then X, Y, and Z. And we've got to figure out what percentage of X, Y, and Z makes up the full experience. You know, can you live without X, Y, and Z? It's change and it's different and it might be some hard work and you might need to front load some things. But if at the end of it, are those things that you can make fluid? Are those things that you can pick up over time? Because I was 100% sure that I wanted to leave LA. There wasn't a single part of me that wanted to stay. My mind was telling me, like, I can't even say that. Part of me was like, you know, my mind was saying, you know, maybe there's still more in you, but there wasn't. Like, there literally wasn't. I had the well was dry. I felt like I had had all of the experiences that I wanted to have there, and it was time for me to move on. But I think there's a part of me that felt such an attachment to Los Angeles that I couldn't believe that I was choosing for it to be over. And I think that, you know, that also comes from me being someone who endures way more than I think is fair to myself. It's like, you know, I will leave Los Angeles when it gets so bad that I have to leave. That's when I'll leave. You know, when it's like, when I can't take anymore, that's when I'll leave. So I I put myself in these positions to endure. And it's like, you know, it's historically not the kindest thing. But, you know, for someone who has balanced so much for so long and has a penchant for overproductivity, it comes back to bite you in the ass. And it doesn't feel good. It does not feel good when you're looking back on that and you see how tired you are. And so, you know, for me, again, I was 100% certain that I wanted to leave. I didn't know where I wanted to go. And so I found a lot of joy and actually a lot of distraction in researching where. Okay, so I'm going to start with this first question here. Why Idaho? I'm going to read some things that I found online that I think are just interesting. And I assume some of this was the case, but here's kind of the facts. Because Idaho is a state that is filled with open spaces, you will find that it is a reasonably safe place to live. Yes, 100%. Like, I would never walk at night in LA. I walk at night all the time here. I've left my bike outside. We've even left our door unlocked. Okay. You have Boise, Twin Falls, Meridian, Eagle, Nampa. These are all cities surrounding Boise, downtown Boise, that have lower crime rates compared to similar settings across the year. Idaho has a lower cost of living than average, with the average home sale price coming in at $175,000 less than the national average. The low cost of living helps seniors keep retirement money for the things they love rather than the things they need. It is a very hot destination during the pandemic. 194% more people moved into the state than out since March. Forbes called Boise the best place for millennials to live in the U.S., and it was the fastest growing city in the U.S. in 2018. I think overall, my experience is that it is a much more affordable cost of living. It is a way better work-life balance, and I have copious amounts of access to nature. And for me, that was the difference of being kind of disgruntled and stressed and feeling a lot of pressure and feeling like I could actually sink into a presence and thus extract real joy from my life. And it's tricky, you know, it's really tricky, the idea of extracting joy, especially when we spend so much time online, because our joy, our feelings, our emotions, our play-by-plays are constantly documented. And that steals the presence and just kind of the organic nature of our emotions. And I felt a pressure in Los Angeles to constantly be delivering content. And here, it's like, it's weird. It's like, I'm still sharing stuff online, but it feels so organic. There's a joy in it. Like, I'm happy to share it. I'm happy to answer questions. I'm responding quicker. Like, I'd spend my time during the day responding to people and being really present. But then there's all of these other things happening in my life where the phone doesn't even belong. You know, you don't see people really on their phones here. You don't see people walking down and kind of running into you on the sidewalk. And there's not a lot of documentation. And so it kind of makes me feel like if I was to do what I did in Los Angeles, like I would almost kind of, I would be the elephant in the room. It's a good influence. It's definitely a good influence on people that don't want to show that to Monty. And you know, I have heard, I think, across the board, and people from Idaho say it with like a little bit of insecurity, or at least the people that I've met, that like, you know, Idaho is like 7 to 10 years behind Los Angeles in terms of their tech and just their social media and all of that. And I was like, well, that's kind of awesome. That's kind of a cool thing. Like, I'm into that. And yeah. And so as I shared before, we came out here in May, and you know, there were other places on our list. We were looking at Raleigh, we were looking at Atlanta, we were considering Seattle, but I just didn't want to. I wasn't sure about the weather. And we had plans to move to Vancouver for 6 weeks, but when COVID hit and the Canadian border was shut down, we just escalated things. We were like, okay, well then let's just like see, since we don't feel comfortable flying right now, let's see if we can get in the car and drive some places. Where are some places on the West Coast that we're interested in? And, you know, there was a lot of financial lateral moves. While LA is so expensive, San Francisco wouldn't have been much better at all. It would have been like, you know, heaps more stressful. Seattle was super expensive to buy a home. Portland, you know, it was pretty lateral. There wasn't a lot of relief in those areas in any of those cities. And so, and then I was just like reading an article and I came across a Forbes article that said that Boise was the fastest growing city in the U.S. I was like, oh, okay, let's like click through, see what that's about. And I honestly went down a rabbit hole. I went down a fucking rabbit hole. I was like looking up neighborhoods, looking up school systems, looking up parks, looking up rivers. I mean, I was blown away. Because I'll be honest, I thought Idaho was just cornfields and potatoes. In the same way that when I went to Indiana University for college and people were like, why are you going to Indiana University?
it's just all cornfields. I was like, no, it's the, there's a downtown. It's very, never mind. And then I also told people that I majored in telecommunications, which is what IU called their film school. And then everybody thought that I was in like phone services. So it was just, it was fuckery all the way through. But my point is that what I found online that day revealed a place that I had never considered ever in a million years. So then the next stage came, the the acceptance that I would be someone that moved to Idaho. Now, I'm being very raw and very honest in this interview, because what I didn't realize at that time was that the people that I have met in Idaho and living in Idaho is one of the things, is it's two things I just said. The people in Idaho are the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And living in Idaho is, it would be a gift to most people in every way. I think there was a massive part of me that hid behind Los Angeles for a very long time. And I think this is important to talk about because, you know, whatever wasn't happening in my life, okay, so I got married for the first time when I was 35. And whatever wasn't happening in my life prior to 35, I could hide behind LA. That makes sense that Annie's not married. She's in Los Angeles. Like, no, you know, nobody settles down that early. Or she's building a business, so she has other priorities. Or, you know, anything that I felt ashamed about or anything that I felt insecure about, I had LA and its beauty and its sunshine and its palm trees and its beaches and its fashion and all of these things to hide behind. And, you know, I didn't realize that until recently. Total sidebar, but I said to Micah, one of the first things I want to do when I move to Boise is get a therapist. And I had had a therapist for a few years around the time of my divorce. And, you know, that's sometimes what happens in therapy is you graduate, so to speak, and then you go out and you live your life and you apply what you've learned, and then life gets messy and you find yourself wanting to go back. And that's kind of where I landed. And I knew that coming here was going to put me on the other end of a lot of grief that I had not reconciled. So, you know, I realized that in making a decision to move here, I had to peel back the layers of all of these absolutes that I had made in my head about why I live here. You know, I would go to Hollywood and Highland, which is kind of like our Times Square, and I would look at people and I'd be like, oh my God, you know, where do these people live? I mean, so judgmental. Where do these people live? God, it's like, I can't imagine living anywhere other than LA. Like, I would just be so bored. And, you know, obviously age and maturity and experience dictate how you feel about the place that you're living. But after a while, I just started to feel envious of those people. You know, they get to come here and have this like amazing week and eat at these restaurants, go to the beach and live it up. And then they get to go back to a place that's just simpler, that doesn't require the same amount of consideration for so many things that are stressful. And that took me a very, very, very long time to, again, peel back the layers on what it was about this city that I still loved. And what about the city was expired? And I think when I dug into that just on my own prior to moving here, I realized that based on my life and what I do, I literally could have lived anywhere. I'm not even kidding. Like, we work. We go on a walk in the morning, go on a walk in the evening, which is usually like accompanied by drag racing and I honestly, it's like, it's so chaotic. Like, our walks were just like, it was like the physical challenge from Double Dare. Okay. For any of you guys who are 80s babies, it was just like, okay, we jump over this pothole, but here comes the drag race. There's a helicopter up there and they're circling us. There must be somebody breaking into our house right now. Like, it didn't used to be constant, but it definitely became constant towards the end. It was like a relentless bout of afflictions every single time we left the house. And a car accident. Or my car was stolen. Or somebody broke into my car. I mean, it was like, it was just nonstop. And we were in a safe suburban neighborhood. So, what the hell was I talking about? Oh, so yeah. So it took some time for me to peel back what it was that was so, what was keeping me there. And I think in thinking about that, it was like, I mean, literally we could be anywhere. We walk, we work, we get frozen yogurt, we Postmates the shit out of Postmates, and we sleep. And I don't even really see my friends all that much anymore. Because also with COVID, you know, that was kind of out of the cards. What is it? Off. Oh my God. I'm just always so used to saying off the record. That wasn't in the cards. And even regardless of COVID, everybody was in a different place. Some people were getting married. Some people were pregnant. Some people were, you know, single and dating. Some people were inundated with work. It's just like, yeah, you know what I mean. Like, you know, you have a dinner with a friend every 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. And that's kind of what it was. And so Mike and I looked at each other and we're like, do we need to be here anymore? And what are we losing by being here? I know that being comfortable and feeling safe by not changing our surroundings, we get to feel safe, even if bitching and complaining is part of that safety. And so people, you know, you stay, you get complacent. This is the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. And, you know, what I can say to anybody listening who is considering a move, who is considering picking up and finding another place that could be their happy place is, you know, is this, even if it's 51-49, would you be open to exploring that, even if it meant that you just would turn around and have to come back home? Would you explore another place and maybe change how we build these things up in our mind and just have it be a place that you're exploring and you're open and you're checking it out and you're seeing how it feels? And if it doesn't work out, it's fine. I'll just go back to New York. As opposed to these absolutes that we put on ourselves, which is, I absolutely don't want to be here anymore, and I absolutely want to move there, and I'm absolutely going to be happy when I get there. As opposed to making it just a little bit more fluid and just walking in the direction of something that could make you more joyful. I have some questions, and I promise you guys that I would get through them. The first one is, are you feeling more inspired? And of course, I'm not going to share the names of the people who shared these. And there's a lot of them. So I've kind of lumped them into kind of like a microcosm of like a series of questions in one. So there was a lot of people asking about inspiration. You know, do you actually feel inspired? And I think it was easy for me to answer that preemptively before we got here, because whenever something new is coming, and whenever you know the change is coming, yes, it can be scary, but you're also distracted by the idea of it. It's like, oh my God, and the road trip there, and we're going to get there, and then that, and then blah, 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 and we're going to meet people, and you know, we're building a house, and so that's cool. But it's like, you know, the full spectrum of emotions will come in. And what comes to the surface when they come in is different for every person, you know? So in answer to this question, am I feeling more inspired? Yes. I am 100% feeling more inspired because I was totally uninspired. I mean, is that a word that you would use to describe your situation where you are right now? Do you feel uninspired? Do you feel tired? Do you feel like it takes a lot more to come up with a good idea or make a decision that would be in your best interest? Or, I mean, even like picking up the phone to keep in touch with a friend, like, are you just fatigued? You know, my therapist here said, have you ever heard of learned helplessness? I said, no. She said, okay. Learned helplessness happens a lot with people in cities by default. It's just an acclimation to the suck So you have learned how to be helpless because you don't know how to go up against these big things that are time burglars and energy thieves. So, you know, using LA as an example, like, well, there's traffic all the time. And I've just resigned myself to the fact that, like, of course, like, in order for me to commute in this city, like, I'm probably going to be in my car for an hour. Or like, you know, yeah, I mean, the dating scene isn't that great here. And, you know, but I get X, Y, and Z from LA. So I will date down. You know, it's this learned helplessness that we all, I think that many of us probably are experiencing. But the other side to that is, what does that do to you over time? Releasing yourself of your own power and not being able to step into your own power. Like, where does learned helplessness show up for you in your life? And how is that affecting you? For me, it was becoming really unbearable. Like, I didn't just want to see that as the status quo when I saw other people not dealing with that around me. And on top of that, because of social media, we're all connected. So LA isn't this place, and New York and San Francisco, like these cities that are historically more expensive, are not the only places with cool things happening. And then the other towns and, you know, smaller suburban towns were kind of looking in at all of these places with exciting things. Now you have green, you know, clean, conscious beauty boutiques popping up in small towns. You have indie brands and other types of boutiques, you know, whether it's clothing, whether it's tile companies or home decor or, I mean, everything, nail salons, all of this stuff. It's very bespoke. It's very intentional. It's very special. And these places are showing up everywhere. And that's, I honestly think, because of social media, because people in Raleigh want what people in New York have. And people in San Luis Obispo want what people in San Diego have. And people in, you know, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania want what people in Philadelphia have. And so people move into those towns and they open it. And entrepreneurs who are living in those towns just do it in the cities and towns that they're in. And so now many places in the United States and actually globally have a more intimate consumer experience, a more intimate restaurant experience. I mean, dude, you put tree lights up anywhere and I'm gonna open my wallet to you. It's funny. There is a river that Micah and I walk around at night. And if you're following Skin Owl on Instagram, you've seen the river. You've seen it 20 times. You're over the river. But on the other side of the river, there was this like, it looked like a big lodge. And it was just like right on the river, so picturesque, straight out of a movie. And every single time we would walk at night, we would see like fire pits and we would kind of hear like some music coming and tree lights. Tree lights for days, okay? Tree lights and all the trees, hanging off all the fences, beaming onto the water with its lit up reflection. So I was like, you know what? I don't know what that is. That is some restaurant. We tried to Google it. It didn't come up. Like, that is some kind of cool lodge or cool country club, or there's something going on over there. And it's like, you know, East Beach and West Beach. We're like, there's something going on over that that beach. And it's like, that's the party beach, or that's like, when we would talk about it in a way that was like so glamorized. We were like, and then maybe you walk into the lobby and there's just a wood burning fireplace and big cozy couches, and that's where we're gonna drink our tea. And then I rode my bike over there, and it was an apartment complex, and they wouldn't allow me to see the back of it because it was just for the people living there. It's just some tree lights for the ambiance, and the fire pit was like inside the pool. And the pool was really a hot tub. And it was all illusion. But nonetheless, my point in saying that is that We all want to be where the places are that make us feel like we are connected and having a special experience. And those places are popping up in more places. Now, it did not pop up on the other side of the river. That was not what we thought. So now, the one thing this town could use is a freaking country club with some tree lights. Or maybe something not as lofty as a country club, but just a lodge. Just a lodge and call it something. Just call it something that is historic. I don't know. And then I tell these stories and I have no idea what the fuck I was just talking about. And I don't take notes anymore. So maybe I should just move on to the next question, which is, were you able to save money? And my answer to that is also a resounding yes. LA is very expensive. Real estate is expensive. You want to shop everywhere. It's consumerism all over the place. It's super fun. It's super awesome. It's, you know, it also got me into a lot of credit card debt when I moved to Los Angeles. But, you know, I think when I think of when I take the long view and I look at life down the line, I think of, okay, if we were to sell our house, then like, where would we go? Then you just got to keep climbing the ladder and all the while making the same amount of money, but more. But what if you have an off year? Or what if it's COVID? And you can't, you know, you can't support yourself in the same way that you always did. Then what do you do? Then you're stuck in this city that's like, again, a complete relentless consideration for money all the time. And some people can really sustain that. And it was starting to eat at me. It was constant. You'd have some good months and then you'd have some bad months. And the bad months weren't even that bad. It was just the state of running a business. And I kept saying to myself, if I was not running a business right now, this wouldn't be so hard, but the show must go on. You've got to keep buying the bottles and the eyedroppers, and it's not like you can't pay your people. The show must go on. So, you know, if our overhead and our blanketed costs could have come down, then it could have been, you know, a different scenario. And that was something that we started considering. Is there a place that we could go to that can give us some relief, but also we're not substituting, you know, a cheaper lifestyle for then being bored? And, you know, just for the reasons that I said before, I think Boise really fit the bill. Not to mention, you can ski here and you can surf. You can surf the Boise River. The river runs through the entire city, through Boise State University, through all the wineries. You know, you drive over a bridge and you see the river. Like, the river is everywhere. People paddleboard, people kayak. It's just like you can jump into the river at any point in time. I think in the late spring, the Idaho Fire Department sends their dive team to clear like a few mile stretch of the river, clear of all debris. And then they like open it up and everybody can be in it until it's cold as hell. It's just like really cool. It's very active in that way. So what was I talking about? So then the river's there, the river runs through it. And is it affordable? And then can people save money? And you guys know, because you, oh God, you're listening to this and you're like, no, just you were talking about this and you were getting to the good thing. And now I can't press rewind on this. I'll distract you with my soundboard. That's the sound of Boise actually in the background. Which, by the way, it's not Boise. It's Boise, I was told. So now I'm an Idahoan, so I say that too. Yeah, I can save money here. Real estate. I was talking about how the show can go on. Or the show must go on in California. And so if we can have some relief in the blanketed kind of bottom line costs, how can that change your life? And of course, doing it so that you don't replace your happiness and the list of things that you can do for fun with just a more affordable home. You know, you don't want to make that switch off. But we found that it had everything that we wanted here, which was the river and paddleboarding and surfing and skiing. And I'm back to where I left off. Okay, so you can ski here. It's like 45 minutes up this up this hill, and it's called Bogus Basin, and you can surf. They have these like man-made waves on the river and people surf. So, so we were able to save money. We were able to find a house that was less expensive. Car insurance was less expensive. I think it's important just to share all of this with you. Business costs were less expensive. And rent. So we're obviously waiting for our home to be built in hopefully what would be March and April. And in the meantime, we're renting Airbnbs, and that was more affordable. So it's just, you know, I think all around this was a win for us personally. I think if you're coming from a Los Angeles, if you're coming from a New York, if you're coming from a place that historically is kind of boxing you out of real estate markets and rental markets, you will find relief in that here. And then kind of segued into this other question, which I'm lumping all as one. People are like, but my friends and family are here. Like, how did you move to a city where you didn't know anyone? And that, I think, is the toughest question that I could answer. Because, you know, I think for me, in terms, my family has never lived in California. My husband, his family was in San Diego, or is in San Diego, but had family in Seattle. And so his family was more used to traveling to Seattle, and possibly maybe on a trip to Seattle, they would come and see us. Like, it was all very reasonable with my in-laws. With my parents, I've always been, you know, they've always been in Washington, D.C., and I've always been in L.A. So for me, it was like, it was actually closer to live in Idaho for my family. And friends... My friends, these are people that I'm going to keep in touch with regardless. And I do feel confident about that. At this age, at 39 years old, with a child, during COVID, and even before then, just because of all the place, you know, all the different places that people are in right now, it's not like I was seeing my friends every single weekend. It's not like I was in my 20s. Wait, can you guys hear this? You probably can't, but Monkey is drinking his water so loud. The dog doesn't drink literally ever. And now that I'm doing a podcast, he drinks for 45 seconds and then comes over here and is going to put his face on my Rodecaster. No, see, I knew it. And now because he drank so much water, it immediately goes to his wiener, and now he has to pee, and now he's barking at me to let him out. And thank God my husband just walked in, because he can let him out. So yeah, so for those of you that are considering what to do about friends and family, that's going to be in that percentage that we were talking about. That's the 70-30. That's the 80-20. That's the 51-49. You know, how would your life change if you didn't have family around? You know, is it something where you could organize a type of visiting schedule that would make it easier on you if you had family for childcare? Is it something where people would move? You know, I hear it all the time. Like, we moved to here and then our family followed. Like, would people be open to that? That's such a personal thing. And I totally, totally value how difficult that is across the board, because that is one of the main reasons why people are happy where they are. So, and then finally, which this was the one of the biggest questions, and I want to really make sure that I give some time to it, is moving a business. I had a lot of peers, and I know some of you are listening right now to this podcast about how did you move your business? And I will talk to you a little bit about the logistics and kind of what goes into that. But, you know, ultimately, you just have to think, just entertain it for a second. You know, so I won't say their name, obviously, but someone was running their business out of Manhattan, felt like they had incredible access to things, whether it was creatives or accountants or raw ingredients that, you know, Manhattan was their oyster, so to speak. And they were able to find people working, you know, to work for their company and all of these things. But the place that they wanted to move wouldn't have, I think, been as fruitful in those areas, or at least they thought maybe it wouldn't have been. And, you know, I really do believe that so much of managing my business is done remotely, that of course, like, you want to make sure that you're hiring people who are passionate about your company, and that it's a good well of people to choose from. But there are amazing people all over the place. There's amazing accountants. There are amazing assistants. There are amazing photographers. I found a photographer here in Boise, Idaho, and she's unbelievably talented. Unbelievably talented. Of course, these people exist everywhere. And those people are dying for, to feel passionate about a job from a company that could move from Los Angeles or New York. Like, these people are hungry for these types of opportunities. And there's a shared energy there that is beneficial to not only you, but the people working for you. Because, in some of these places, it might be a really big deal for a skincare line to show up. I mean, I don't think if I had stayed back in Northern Virginia, I don't think I would have had the opportunities that I had in the beauty industry. So for people in the beauty industry to start, matriculating, so to speak, and planting their seed elsewhere, you will be on the receiving end of so many hungry people who want to be a part of your vision. And that has been the case with Skin Owl. So for me, the logistics were, I'm moving my fulfillment. For those of you guys that don't know, Skin Owl does, up until this point, manufactured, hand-bottled, hand-mixed, hand-labeled all of their products, and we fulfilled all of our orders domestically and internationally. So for me, it was, okay, what do I do with this product line? I had a team for years that knew how to make this product line. And now I'm moving to a new city, and I want to get that aspect out of the hands of Skin Owl and designate that to a factory, a ma and pa factory. And the reality is, most companies aren't in that position. That was the hardest part of it for me, is that's obviously a cost that I'm incurring to bring on that kind of support. But, a lot of people, while still making their own products, you will be able to find a team of those people. If you just take that baby step and you put that job posting out there, watch what happens. Even if you're not considering moving yet, just be, in the future, we're thinking of this. We'd love to see if anybody's interested in possibly coming on board once we make the move in the next few months. So you're not promising anybody anything, but you are gauging interest. And in that case, you'll be able to see how feasible it is. And that's what I did. And the response was amazing. I didn't even mention my business name. It's just like, who would be interested in this? And it wound up being a good litmus test for what I could expect when I was ready to hire people. So for me, it was hiring a factory, which I was able to keep in that side of the business in California. And the other side was the logistical side. having a staff here who could fulfill orders, who could handle inventory, who could manage certain aspects of the brand. And just like I said before, that happened really organically. I'm looking for a business manager, or I'm not sure, what that position would be for you, but I'm looking for an assistant. I'm looking for, someone to deal with inventory or the stock room or shipping and tracking or accounts receivable, like whatever it is that makes you feel like you can't move your business, it's important to see what it would actually entail. If you were to entertain the idea of moving your business, if somebody said you need to move your business now, start the process, what would that look like? And I have a feeling that, like so many things in life, sometimes it's just the anxiety over the actuality of it. If you just start putting a little energy into that direction and seeing, just putting out a couple of postings or sharing something on Instagram. Hey, we're thinking of, relocating. Who would be interested in working for the company? And then see where those people live. you can work backwards in that way. I think the other side of it too is is just, I think the more legal side of it, and that's something where you can have somebody consult you on that, reestablishing kind of where our business entity lives. And without going into the boring stuff, that's just something that, if you filed your business and you did everything that you needed to do to start your business, then switching your business over to a new state is about a quarter as difficult as that. It's really just a couple of clicks on the computer, on your whoever handles your shipping and fulfillment, so that you can change your tax rates. And you know, switching your entity to a new state. Otherwise, it's going to be a fucking tax nightmare if you're paying taxes in one state and the other simultaneously. So that's my pro tip on that. It's important to say that you could drum up and think up every single reason why a move wouldn't work for you. But there's a huge percentage of the stuff that happens when you move that just falls into place because you're a human being who naturally checks things off of a list. So, oh my God, but we got to find a place and then God, and then car insurance and all that. Like, these are just things that if you're already maintaining these things in your respective state, it's just a tiny bit of front loading when you move and you emotionally prepare for that. So you know that when you land, you're going to have to do X, Y, and Z. And it makes it just something that you do. And then you turn around one day and it's done. And I think that that is one of the craziest trips about being alive. If you've ever moved homes or done anything really big, it's almost like, you know, after your wedding and then you turn around, you're like, what? Or after giving birth. Or, I mean, in our case, honestly, moving. It was like, whoa, that is crazy that just happened. That's now a thing in the past. All of this stuff becomes that. But, you know, I think in concluding this podcast, because I think I've given, hopefully, you guys something to think about for those of you guys that are considering this in your own life, I think it's important to share that no matter how confident you are that you need to move or deserve to move or will have, you know, joy in certain areas of your life that you don't now when you move, that if you are aware and open, there will be things that follow you. You know, there might be guilt if you're leaving behind friends and family. There might be a mourning process that's mixed, that just doesn't always feel very clear. And you don't need to know what that is. You just need to let those emotions come in and come out. You know, there will be grief about the end of a chapter. And I think that's sometimes a feeling that accompanies putting yourself first is, if you're anything like me, you look back on a scenario and you mourn it because it's like, it was so special and you're so grateful for the opportunity, while also realizing that it was toxic and damaging towards the end. But there's a part of you that like wishes for it back. And I think sometimes that's like the saboteur in me, or the part of me that has always been overproductive and indoors. You know, it's like, you know, do I actually deserve this happiness? Do I actually deserve to have relief in these areas in my life? And the answer is unbelievably yes. You do. I do. And the things that follow you here are just maybe expired narratives or your mind playing tricks on you, or things that I think are just part of the process. It's just normal. And just because it comes in doesn't mean you need to engage with it. And that is, I think, one of the most important pieces of advice I've ever gotten, is just because something comes in and you're thinking about it, it doesn't mean that you have to engage with it and make it real. So if you're feeling the guilt, if you're feeling the overwhelmance, if you're feeling the loss, if you're feeling like, you know, mixed feelings once you get to a place because it's not as familiar and you don't know it like the back of your hand, and, you know, who are you going to go out and have dinner with, and, you know, what did I do? You've got to let time heal. And also sometimes it's too early to tell. Is those really loud emotions. And you'll know if it's real. You know, if it's a loop and a loop and a loop and constantly you're wishing for that life or that place back, you'll find your way there. You'll get there. But if it's fear and if it's anxiety and it's newness and change that is tapping at your door, not repeatedly, but every so often it comes in, I just think that that's part of the process. So I think when we do things to gift us greater enjoyment or a happier life, there is a guilt in that sometimes, and there is a hesitance, and it doesn't make it real. So follow your heart, you know, follow your hopes, be open, be fluid, release the pressure. Maybe don't make it so important. Make it just something that you're doing in your life that could grant you some joys that you wouldn't have been able to get to otherwise. And if it doesn't work, then you leave there. You go to another place. And I know that that's easier said than done because there's children. Maybe those children are in school and it's a pain in the ass to move. And the last thing you want to do is move again. But my point is like, you know, maybe it's just worth the exploration. And whatever hardship it is to get to that place pales in comparison to the way that you would feel if you were to regret not doing it. And I think that's what you have to weigh, is what will be the stronger letdown? How will you let yourself down? And in which, you know, and in what way will it be stronger? So that's what I got to say. It's been a little over an hour. I'm going to leave you guys with this. I, you know, would love to talk to you about this and love to engage you in any further questions that you have. You know, I think for me, I can say right now, you know, we've been here for 4 weeks. It is, you know, for the most part, every single day, we say how grateful we are and we're so happy to just have a new experience and have the opportunity to explore a place that we never thought that we would come to. I mean, in a million years, if somebody had said, you know, when you're 39 years old, you're going to move to Idaho, I would have smacked them in the pants. And now it's like we're here and we're loving it. And it's just about being malleable and open to some of the desires and some of the your curiosities. And you know, but it's, again, it's important to say that not every single day is paddleboarding and walking along the rivers, hoping that it's a country club in out there in the distance. It is equal parts, you know, reconciliation and mourning and contemplation, and that's okay, because at a certain point, one will top the other. And my feeling is that it will just be the best decision that we made. And LA will always be this chapter that changed my life and, again, gave me my greatest gifts and taught me so many lessons. And it will be a wonderful place to visit. And it will be even more special when I go back, because I'll be able to see my friends and go to the beach and feel like some of those places are now special and novel. And I'll be able to see a whole new city, you know, with new life. So I wish you all the best. And my wish for all of you is to just walk in the direction of things that make you happy, even if it's baby steps and even if it's slow, just stay the course. So I say this at the end of every podcast. I'm going to do it again. If you like this episode, if you like this podcast in general, I can't force you enough to go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or wherever you like listening to podcasts and to give this podcast a 5-star rating and leave a review. I read the reviews. I share the reviews. It is a point of entry for us having a conversation, being friends. I would love it. And of course, as always, if you love Skin Owl and you want to try something, and if you need product recommendations, you can always DM me or email us at info@skinowl.com. But use code OFFTHERECORD15, that's 15 at the end, for 15% off everything on skinowl.com. Okay? And now I'm going through my entire soundboard. Oh God, because it wouldn't be a podcast without that. Oh my God. Okay. And with that, I love you guys and I wish you all the best. I thank you guys for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 107. And if you've got some spare time, follow us on Instagram at Off the Record with you and at Skin Owl. And that's it and that's all. All right, guys. Love you. Now it's just you and me. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, pull me in, put a finger to my lips. Cause I can't say I've got what I would do. Off the record with you.